Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 12. In this chapter, David is confronted by Nathan the prophet about his great sins of adultery and murder. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 14. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die." Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 12, with some background notes. Hollywood loves a chapter in the Bible like 2 Samuel chapter 11, because the sins of adultery and murder on the part of David make for a good movie as far as Hollywood is concerned. And, of course, they do everything they can to play up the drama and intrigue. But from the divine perspective, 2 Samuel chapter 11 is not an exciting chapter. It is a very sad chapter and a terrible transition point in David's life. From this point on in David's life, for the rest of his days, he will suffer the consequences of his terrible sins. David thought that he had covered up his sin and had gotten away with it by marrying Bathsheba as soon as the official time of mourning for Uriah was over. But the sin was not covered up to the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. We read at the end of chapter 11 in verse 27, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." 2 Samuel 11, 27. Probably about a year went by between chapters 11 and 12. If we didn't have the book of Psalms in the Bible, we might get the idea that David had covered up his sin so well that even David had forgotten about it. But we know from the Psalms that David's conscience was overwhelmed with guilt, and the hand of the Lord was heavy upon David during this time. Listen to David's words in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Selah. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. So we know that even before Nathan the prophet confronted David, David was overwhelmed with guilt, and God's hand was heavy upon him. Now here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have the word of the Lord to David through the prophet Nathan. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter. Doctrinal point number one, there are consequences to sin that is forgiven. There are consequences to sin that is forgiven. Nathan the prophet presented David with an account of a rich man who had many sheep, robbing a poor man of his one little lamb in order to kill it for a meal. Nathan, of course, was using this story as a parable. But David at first believed it was a real case and was very angry. Verse 5. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die." David judged himself in verse 6 when he said that the guilty rich man should make restitution fourfold. Verse 6. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Well, you can imagine the shocking moment when Nathan looked David straight in the eye and said, "You are the man." The good news here is that David immediately confessed his sin, and God graciously forgave him. Verse 13. However, there are consequences to sin that is forgiven. And as David had pronounced that there should be fourfold restitution for the rich man's sin, so there would be fourfold consequences to David's forgiven sin. Number one, the sword would never depart from David's house. Verse 10. We will see the violent deaths of David's sons, Amnon and Absalom, in coming chapters. Number two, Absalom, David's own son, would usurp the throne. Verse 11. Number 3. David's wives would be taken from him and violated publicly. And number 4. The child would die. Verse 14. There are consequences to sin that is forgiven. You cannot sin in a vacuum. Other people get hurt. There is always bad fallout and ripple-down effects to sin. David had to live for the rest of his life with the consequences of his forgiven sin. And so will we. There are consequences to sin that is forgiven. Doctrinal point number 2. There is hope for infants who die. There is hope for infants who die. Verses 15 through 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning now at verse 15. Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." While the child was still alive, David fasted and wept and prayed before the Lord. But when the child died, we read in verse 20 that David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. David's response to his servants' questions about what seemed to them as inconsistent behavior is in verses 22 and 23. Now, what did David mean when he said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me"? Is this a proof text in the Bible that children who die before the age of accountability go to heaven? In the context, David may mean that he would eventually join the child in death, but that would hardly be something to be cheerful about. We know from Psalm 23 that David was looking forward when he died to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That is heaven. And so when David said, "I shall go to the child," he was probably meaning that he would join the child in heaven. And thus, this verse is scriptural support for the teaching that children who die before the age of accountability are part of the elect company of believers and will be in heaven. Our Lord's statement in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, about young children, that of such is the kingdom of heaven, certainly supports this position. The work of Christ on the cross was sufficient and provisional for all the world. So certainly God can save babies as well as unborn children who die. There is hope for infants who die. Now, what about practical application from 2 Samuel chapter 12? You've got to move on. You've got to move on. Verses 24 through 31. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Now Joab fought against Rabbah of the people of Ammon, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, "I have fought against Rabbah, and I have taken the city's water supply. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name." So David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah, fought against it, and took it. Then he took their king's crown from his head. Its weight was a talent of gold with precious stones, and it was set on David's head. Also he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought out the people who were in it, and put them to work with saws and iron picks and iron axes, and made them cross over to the brickworks. So he did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. In these verses, we see David moving on in life, in his marriage to Bathsheba, and his defeat of Israel's enemies. Now, we can't be sure whether verse 31 indicates that David put the Ammonites under slave labor or executed them in accordance with their own cruel ways of warfare. In any case, David moved on in his life as king. He didn't commit suicide or leave the throne, but moved on in life with the responsibilities that God had given him. He had confessed his sin, and he had been restored to fellowship with the Lord, and God was picking up the pieces in his life, including the birth of Solomon. Even though David would still continue to face the consequences of his forgiven sin. Now, do you see the application for us? You've got to move on. Confess your sin. Get restored to fellowship with the Lord. Face the consequences of your forgiven sin. Let the Lord pick up the pieces and move on in life. Don't commit suicide. Don't live in the rehashed scenarios and guilt of the past. You've got to move on.